This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Yeah, come on.
Our executive producer, Danny Miller, has told me he thinks one of the smartest moves I ever made was convincing Ray Manzarek of The Doors, who played all those now classic organ solos, to do our interview at the piano. With The Doors' year-long 40th anniversary celebration about to begin, what a perfect opportunity to listen back to Manzarek. The mythology surrounding The Doors has mostly centered around its lead singer, Jim Morrison, who died under mysterious circumstances in 1971 and is still considered one of rock's tortured poets and sex gods. But instrumentally, The Doors' distinctive sound was based on Manzarek's keyboard playing.
When the music's over, when the music's over here, when the music's over, turn up the lights, turn up the lights, turn up the lights, yeah, yeah.
I spoke with Ray Manzarek in 1998 after the publication of his book about The Doors.
Biblically, 40 days and 40 nights after we said our goodbyes after graduation, I'm sitting on the beach wondering what I'm going to do with myself. Who comes walking down the beach but James Douglas Morrison? Looking great. Lost 30 pounds. Was down to about 135, 6 feet tall, Leonardo, Michelangelo's David. He had the ringlets and curly hair starting to kind of fall over his ears and gentle locks. And I thought, God, he looks just great. And I said, Jim, come on over here, man. Come on. It's Ray. Hey, come on. And he said, Ray, oh, man, good to see you. And, you know, we did, hey, buddy, hey, pal, you know, high five and all that kind of stuff that guys do. And I said, well, what have you been up to? He said, well, I decided to stay here in Los Angeles. I said, well, good, man. Cool. Tell me, what's going on? And he said, well, I've been living up on Dennis Jacobs' rooftop, consuming a bit of LSD, and writing songs. And I said, whoa, writing songs. Okay, man, cool. Like, sing me a song. You know, and he said, oh, I'm kind of shy. Because I knew he was a poet. He knew I was a musician. He said, sing me a song. So he sat down on the beach, dug his hands into the sand, and the sand started streaming out in little rivulets, and he kind of closed his eyes, and he began to sing in a Chet Baker haunted whisper kind of voice. He began to sing Moonlight Drive, and when I heard that first stanza, let's swim to the moon, let's climb through the tide, penetrate the evening that the city sleeps to hide, I thought, ooh, spooky and cool, man. I can do all kinds of stuff behind that. I could do kind of... sort of like, let's swim to the moon, you know, let's climb through the tide, penetrate the evening that the city sleeps to hide. And I thought, ooh, I can put all jazz chords and I can put some kind of bluesy stuff. I thought, yeah. And I could do my Ray Charles and my Muddy Waters, Otis Spann influences, and I could do just all kinds of bluesy, funky stuff behind what Jim was singing. And then he had a couple of other songs, My Eyes Have Seen You and Summer's Almost Gone, and they were just, they had beautiful melodies to them that would just allow for chord changes and improvisations. And I said, man, this is incredible. Let's get a rock and roll band together. And he said, that's exactly what I want to do. And I said, all right, man. But one thing, what do we call the band? It's got no name. We can't call it Morrison and Manzarek. I mean, or Eminem, or, you know, two guys from Venice Beach or something. He said, no, man, we're going to call it The Doors. And I said, that's ridiculous. The Door. Oh, wait a minute. You mean like the doors of perception, the doors in your mind? And the light bulb went on, and I said, that's it, the doors of perception. He said, no, just the doors. I said, like Aldous Huxley. He said, yeah, but we're just the doors. And that was it. We were the doors. And that's how the band got formed.
So when you and Jim Morrison decided to create a band that left the lead singer and keyboard player, you still needed other musicians.
Yep.
So you ended up finding the drummer, John Densmore, and guitarist, Robbie Krieger. But you became not only the keyboard player, but the bass player, too.
That was of necessity.
Tell us that story.
We had the four of us. I found John and Robbie in the Maharishi's meditation. And kind of an Eastern mysticism. We were into the same thing, the yoga, same kind of yoga that the Beatles were into. And that came out of the song This Is the End, comes out of that. So we were all seekers after spiritual enlightenment, and so was Jim, of course. But we didn't have a bass player, so I applied my boogie-woogie background, my rock and roll boogie-woogie, because when I discovered boogie-woogie, that was the whole thing. And you just keep that left hand going. You don't do anything with it. It just goes and goes and goes and goes. And the right hand does the improvisations. So I had done that over and over and over as a kid, so it was very easy for me to, once we found the Fender Rhodes keyboard bass, 32 notes of extra low-sounding low notes, it was very easy for me to do. So that's what I did on the piano bass. Or like Riders on the Storm. And that's what I did. I just over and over, repetitive bass lines that are just like Boogie Woogie. It just keeps on going. And it becomes hypnotic. And that was that's why Lefty here is thank you. He did a very good job. He's not too quick. He's a bit of a slow-witted fellow, Lefty, but he's really strong and solid and plays what he has to play. So Lefty became our bass player.
So your left hand and right hand were playing separate keyboards.
Oh, of course, yeah. One was I had a Fender Rhodes the Fender keyboard bass sitting on top of a Vox Continental organ, and the Vox Continental organ was what I played with my right hand, and the Fender keyboard bass with my left hand.
Love me one time, could not speak. Love me one time, baby. Yeah, my knees got weak. Love me two times, girl. Last week, all through the week. Love me two times.
That's The Doors, Love Me Two Times. We're listening to a 1998 interview with Ray Manzarek, who is the band's keyboard player. The Doors' history is filled with stories about the unpredictable behavior of lead singer Jim Morrison. One of those stories is about what happened during the Light My Fire recording session. The engineer, Bruce Botnick, had brought in a television and put it in the studio. And when Morrison noticed it, he exploded. I'll let Manzarek tell the story.
Bruce Botnick has the Dodgers on. The Dodgers are in the pennant race. Bruce Botnick's a big baseball fan. Sandy Koufax is pitching, the king, the greatest, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He's recording with the Doors. He brings his portable television set. He wants to see the game. It's the middle of the afternoon. Dodgers are playing, and he's got his television. He couldn't put it in the control room. There's too much electronic equipment, and it just, with the rabbit ears. These are the old days, folks. This is before cable. This is when people had rabbit ears coming off of the television set. He couldn't do it in the control room. Too much electronic equipment, too much static. He found a good place for it off to the side in the studio area, facing the window, the control room window. It wasn't in anybody's way or anything. Everything was fine. So we're in the middle of Light My Fire, and it's solo time. And I'm about to go Coltrane and do my stuff. And Jim comes out of the control room, or out of his vocal booth. You put the singer in a vocal booth. And he starts dancing around. He's having a great time. Then he comes over to the TV set, and he sees the TV set. Then he looks around and notices that it's on. He freaks out. It's like, what is a TV set on in the recording studio? We're making Doors music here for the first time. This is our first recording session. First time in our lives. We're in the studio. We're doing Light My Fire. And a baseball game is on the TV set. Jim picks up the TV set, unplugs the damn thing, and hurls it at the control room window. We freaked, man. Everybody just, we're in the middle of, I'm just going to town, and all of a sudden it was like, Jim, whoa, no, God, don't throw it at the dwing. Hits the control room window. Thank God the control room window is double thick glass. Bounces off the control room window, falls on the floor, and shatters in 500 pieces. And that was the end of the session. And Bruce Botnick comes running out. He says, Jim, what have you done? And Jim said, what's this TV set doing here, Bruce? I was watching the baseball game. That's my TV set. And Jim said, no TV sets in the recording studio ever.
You also write in your memoir, Light My Fire, about Jim Morrison's period is like a sexual god. And you write about how, like, he'd wear his leather pants with no underwear, so the contours of his manhood can be
yes.
could be seen under the leather. And I'm wondering what it was like for you to kind of be at the epicenter of this kind of like sexual adoration.
Oh, it was fabulous. It was fabulous. I mean, we made our music. That's what we did. You know, the fact that Jim attracted the little girls was something that I knew he was going to do when I saw him at 135 pounds on the beach. We're going to start a rock and roll band, and you're about the handsomest guy I've seen. I didn't say this to him. The girls are going to love this guy. And the girls did love him.